My Father, my God, I thank you for this privilege and this honor that you have given once again to share your word with your people. I come like that little child that brought you 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Lord, I present this word. You will help me to break it and distribute it. I will have more than enough at the end of the day. Lord, I pray for increase in honesty and humility of heart. That Lord God, your word will go forth out of me like streams of living water to encourage, to strengthen us in these times we are living in. Let causing our wills become more humble and minds further enlightened with revelation as your word goes forth. Our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the cross. We have to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. Let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done. Holy Spirit, I lean on you. Come and have your way. Come and give me what to say in this very hour. Help me to redeem the time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I bring a word of encouragement. I believe it's not going to be a long message, but it's a spin-off from what God allowed me to share on Sunday. And as I prayed and meditated, I believe this is what God will have me to share. It's a very simple message. It's what we have been taught over and over and over again. And I've titled it, Bearing One Another's Burden. Let's say it together, Bearing One Another's Burden. Praise the Lord. And the scripture is taken from Galatians chapter 6, reading verse 2. Where Paul was talking to Galatian Christians, he said that, Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Further down, he said that we also should bear our own burden. See, but I want to concentrate on bearing one another's burden today. Bearing our own burden basically is for us to daily put on the armor of love personally and to walk in love. Now, but this scripture I've just read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is, if we do not bear one another's burden, we will not be able to fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? As we've been taught, it's divided into two to make it clear and to go straight to the point. The law of Christ speaks about the law of life and the law of love. Let's say together, the law of life and the law of love. Praise the Lord. What is the law of life? We see that in John chapter 12, verse 15. Lord Jesus Christ was talking, and he said, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Let's say it's what? It's life. That is the command, the eternal life for us to draw life, like we've been taught over and over, is a commandment. It's not something that we can say that I don't feel like it. It's something that we are commanded by God himself to do. So it says in John chapter 12, verse 50, and I know, let's say to God, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak thereof, even as his Father said unto me, so I speak. That is somewhere in the book of Ephesians, it says that your words will be seasoned with salt. What seasons your words is the life of God. I follow him. That's if you know anything you say that is not backed by the life of God is an empty word. It is not productive. Are you following me? So we must see the commandment of life or drawing life as a commandment. Are you following me? And I've discovered that this is the center. Are you following me? Part, or let me say the center, one of the things that holds our Christianity together. We got born again by receiving life in our spirits. And that life must continue to increase in measure in our spirit, souls, and bodies. Praise the Lord. So the second commandment, the commandment of love. Say love. They go together. You see, you cannot walk in love in the absence of a life of God. I follow him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life coming in there again. I follow him. The Bible says that I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. These are fundamental things that I believe we all know. So Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15 verse 12, he said, this is my commandment. Are you following me? Are we there? John chapter 15 verse 12. Let's read together. Say, this is my commandment, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. It's not as you wish. It's as I have loved you. I will take a lot of examples today, you know, to try and paint a picture of what God expects of us. Because examples will paint pictures. You can now relate to, oh, so that each time we make a mistake, you can say, oh, I made a mistake here. I did not actually walk in love. I follow him. So we can see those two commandments. The commandment of what? Life. And the commandment of love. He said that we should love one another as I have loved you. So he does not leave it to our own decision or discretion and say, okay, I can love you this way. No, he said, as I have loved. So we have to look at the life of Jesus Christ to know how he walked in love towards us. Basically, again, like I quoted when I was praying, he says that he ever lived to make intercession for the saints. That is, no matter what situation we have, whenever Christ sees us, he's always praying for us. Are you following me? So that is the same love that God wants us to have one toward another. Praise the Lord. It's very important. So like I quoted in the opening scripture, I said that God wants us, says, bear ye one another's burden so that you might fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 2, if you read the Amplified by put on the board, it makes it clearer. It says, carry one another's burdens in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ. That is what? The law of the Christian love. Praise the Lord. Very important. Let's go another scripture to explain it. Romans chapter 13 verse 10. Said, love worketh no ill. Let's read together. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans chapter 15 verse 1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You see, I discovered that if you don't grow in love, there's the tendency to easily be irritated by what your fellow brethren do. And when they irritate you, the first thing that you do is you criticize them. The Apostle says in Galatians, he said, be careful that you don't begin to bite one another. He said, because if you bite one another, you'll devour one another. And you see, this love thing we've been taught over and over and over and over. But you see, I believe that if we don't get to a certain level, or God does not get the crop of people that are actually walking the walk of love to the degree that Christ walked, we cannot download the spirit, that measure that we are expecting. For the simple reason, if we don't get to that state or that height, which is the same thing as the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, it's a dangerous thing to allow somebody with that kind of power. Because when God wants you to forgive and walk in love, you're going to destroy such people. And they are God's creation. And like I said sometime, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Even the worst of sinners, he doesn't want them to perish. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that. So and I said that, the Bible says that, he said, Lord walketh no ill to his brethren. I just said that we should be strong, we that are strong, to bear the infirmities of God. When we look at the strong man in the body of Christ, we say that somebody's strong. Our mind will go to Samson. Or somebody that can preach a fiery message. Or someone that is doing something, casting out devils. That man is a man of God. He's strong. No. That's not the way the Bible sees somebody that's strong. He said, for you to be strong, he said, you should be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what is that grace needed for? Because you see, as I continue, you see, for you to walk in love, you need sufficient grace to be able to walk in love. Because if you are not strong in grace, you cannot walk in love. You see, most of us, we only understand walking in love in the natural realm. That is, somebody blesses you, you bless them, you give them something, which is not wrong, it is right. But you see, there is an aspect of the love of God that moves beyond the outer court into the most holy place. Said it over and over. That is, it takes you within the veil. The veil there speaks about the flesh. That is, you begin to walk in love when it is not convenient for you to walk in love. That is the kind of love that Christ walked in. It wasn't convenient for him to leave heaven and to come down to the nasty here on earth. But he left everything. Why? Because he looked at us and he desired that, I need to take them to where I am. And that is what God has called us to do. When I was preparing this message, I will mention an example. It's coming to me. Something happened recently, and I was supposed to maybe correct some people. So when I got home, I was very angry. I was very furious. I was fuming. So I already put down what I was going to do. I'll do this. I went to bed. So when I woke up the next day, the first thing that God spoke to me, it was very clear. It was in my mind. He said, you did not even wash their feet. I said, it's true. I've forgotten, child. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Then I asked for life for them. I prayed just a few seconds. I asked life for myself. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I forgot. Many of us, we forget. Because I said there, I said the law of Christ is law of life and love. You see, I did not ask for life for them and for myself, so I could not see to walk in love. It was when I did that, that God now opened my eyes and said, this is what you will do. This is what you will do. This is what, and I know how to temper justice with mercy. I said, God. I said, I'm very sorry. Praise the Lord. We'll see as we continue. So, and as I was, like I was preaching on Sunday, I was sharing about the sons of Issachar. In the book of Genesis chapter 49, verses 14 to 15, I'll read. It says, Issachar is a strong ass, couching between two burdens. No, I'm talking about bearing one another's burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and that the land that it was pleasant. And when he saw that rest was good and the land was pleasant, this is what he did. Bible says that he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. You see, when we look at this body, it is true, we bear the burden of our nation and we pray. But see, the primary burden that God has called us to bear is bearing one another's burden in the body of Christ. And you see, you cannot bear that burden effectively. If you don't bear that one properly, there's no way you can bear the burden for the nation of Nigeria. For Issachar to couch under two burdens, that means it must be balanced. Because if one outweighs the other, are you following me? The ass will fall. So there's a balance in what I'm saying. Are you with me? So, but the primary burden that God wants us to bear, like he talks about Issachar here, is to bear one another's burden. And that burden is to walk in love one toward another. Praise the Lord. It's very important. And two places that we always quote. This scripture we're not familiar with. The one you are familiar with is the one in the book of Chronicles that talks about the sons of Issachar. Say that they are men. Say they have an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. You see, many times when we see that it is true, the manifold wisdom of God, we talk about the end time. Okay. The perfect love of God, manifestation of the sons of God, we preach the gospel. You know, it is true. But you see, what Israel, the church, the body of Christ ought to do is bearing one another's burden. Because if God does not see us do that to a certain stage, are you following me? He will not release the spirit without measure. How do I know? The sons of Issachar had an understanding of times and seasons and what Israel to. What does Israel have to do or to do at this time? In the book of Leviticus, when God was talking to them about the Feast of Tabernacles, he said, when you have gathered in first the fruit of the land, that is what Israel ought to do. That's why God has not left his issue of perfecting the love of God. Many of us want to go out to the nations, which is not wrong. But he said in the book of Leviticus, he says, also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the word, the fruit of the land. That fruit there is speaking about the fruit of love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And then you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Love endures long, is patient and is kind. You see, because God is only going to send out gods to the nations. Or love will only send out love. If he sends anything that is not love, then that is not him. The Bible says that this is our God, Isaiah. We have waited for him. Remove that word God and put love there. That's what the whole world is waiting for. Especially in these times we are living in. There's so much pressure everywhere, both in the church and also in the world. So people are looking and waiting for a deliverer. Are you following me? Increasing salary will not solve the problem. Are you following me? Giving people palliatives, it is part of it. We are going to do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. But you see, what people are looking for is God. And you see, when they think about God, they can only know God by the way we walk in love one toward another. Praise the Lord. So like I said that scripture we always quote in of course, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, says that the sons of Issachar had an understanding of times and what Israel ought to do. This is what Israel ought to do now. This is what we should focus on. This is our primary assignment. The first thing we do every day before we now begin to bear any other burden. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's very important that we understand that. Let's open our Bible to John chapter. We look at the life of Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 13, verse 1 in Amplified Bible. See, we are not loving our brethren. You see, God has given, God knows that. Like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, God will not allow you to tempt about what you're able to bear. So God has given everybody his own. Are you with me? He has given everybody his own. The people that you meet every day in your home, your wife, your children, your workplace, those are your own. It's difficult for me now to love one-on-one somebody that is in South Korea. The best I can do is pray for them. Let's look at Jesus Christ as our example and our pattern. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, now, in the Amplified Bible, now, before the Passover feast, which was his own purpose and destiny, our own tabernacles, began, Jesus knew, was fully aware that the time had come for him to leave this world and to return to the Father, and as he had loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the last and to the highest degree. You see, someone was about to be killed. You can put in the second, the next verse. At that time, if it was me, knowing that I was going to die on the cross, and then fully knowing that Judas was going to partake at the Lord's table at that time, and that the other disciples did not even have an idea, they didn't understand what I was going to go through, it would be difficult for me to love them. Part of the fact that he knew that they did not have understanding is that he loved them unto the very end. Rather than for his love to wax cold, he waxed stronger unto the very end. Much the more so that when he was going to tell Judas, he knew he was about to go. He didn't wait for Judas to say, "Oh God, I want to go." He just said, "That which thou doest, do quickly." And the Bible said he said it in such a way that everybody there did not understand. They said he thought he was going to give something to the poor. That is the kind of love that God is causing. You don't stand on the pulpit and begin to use the pulpit to hit somebody that God has put under you. Because your assignment is to, I'm not saying that God doesn't correct. He corrects through the pulpit. That's what I'm saying. But you see, your assignment is to make sure that you get that person to be more like Christ. And in doing it, you don't create strife in the body of Christ or something that will make that person feel so bad or that people will know publicly. That's why the Bible says something. It says that I'll open my mouth in a parable. I will learn to speak in parables. So he that hath an ear to hear will hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Are you all with me? It takes time. I'm out there. It takes time. It takes the Holy Spirit. He said, go and tell that fox. So whoever is a fox, understand he's a fox. Whoever is not a fox, no, I'm not a fox. Are you following me? So Bible says, love them unto them. We have been called also to love as Christ loved. I mentioned that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to say, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Like I said, it's not something we do not know. But God wants us to practice it more fervently. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, he said, above all things, have fervent love amongst yourselves. Say, amongst yourselves. It's first of all amongst ourselves. Are you with me? For love or charity, like it says in the book of King James, shall cover the multitude of sins. That can be done in many ways. There's a primary way you should ask life for the person and pray for the person. The Bible says, open rebuke is better than secret love. But open rebuke with secret love is best. Let me give you an example. Let us say I come here today and maybe someone should have done something he has not done. And I have the time to do it. I can quickly do that thing without anybody knowing, and then I keep quiet. I don't want to go announce that, this person came to church late. Supposed to have brought the baskets for offering, and he forgot, and I did it. No vainglory. The Bible says that when you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Say, but your father that seeth in secret, open the book is better than secret love. It is that secret love that God expects us to walk in daily. You see, folks, I must be honest. I'm just learning these things. I'm learning more and more. That's not every time you talk. Many times we talk out of insecurity and fear. They say, okay, so-and-so come and pray for so-and-so group of people. The person has said everything he wants to say. He didn't want to pray. So we'll not say he didn't know anything. Just pray in tongues and say amen. You now bring out your own scripture. You add this one to it. Add this one to it. Why are we competing? Are you following me? Is it that the little things that foxes that spoil the vine? And God begins to nod you. You didn't have to talk again now. Maybe they have said everything. You didn't have to prove a point. You see, God told me one time, he said, do you know that if I pray in tongues, let us say, for example, I'm giving practical examples so you can know it applies in different ways. Let us say they call myself and Pastor Lopade to come and pray for a group of people, just an example, and we want to pray, and he has prayed. God told me, he said, do you know that if there's nothing extra, you will know in your heart, you will know. You will know. Do you know that if I come there after he has prayed and I pray in tongues for 1 minute, I've prayed more accurately than I've prayed in understanding. You don't understand. The Bible says that the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, but if I come and say, amen and amen, let's just pray in tongues. I will go away and the people say, he didn't say anything. Say, no prophetic word came out today. What else can be more prophetic than praying in tongues? That's God speaking the accurate mind of God. Because these are little. I'm not saying we don't pray. I'm just giving as an example because it's personal to me. Are you following me? And these are the things that God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. So in next verse, but I was reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says that, and above all things, have fervent charity amongst each other. It now says something. It now shows that the practical way to have fervent charity. But I'll read it in the NLT, New Living Translation. New Living Translation says that, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. This is where it brings it to where we are currently. In James, it says that if you see a brother has a need, and say, be filled. God bless you. He said that, show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my own faith by my own works. Something like that. That is where we are now. God is calling us to walk in the love of God practically. But the primary thing is, first of all, you ask for life. Then you pray for them. Then understanding will come and wisdom will come on how to minister to that person. I said earlier on, the Bible says that you cannot walk in love if you do not, you are not strong in grace. What does that mean? In the book of Hebrews, it says that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and our labor of love. The kind of love we are talking about is not just giving things to people, but it's when you receive the grace of God in sufficient measure, and then you pray, after praying, that is, you labor in the place of prayer, then you cannot act out what Christ would do in every situation, which is actually the love of God. Praise the Lord. Very important for us to do that. Now, why is this message very important? Number one reason is because it will enhance our personal answers to prayer. You see, I have seen I don't want to give the examples that are too personal. I can give thousands of examples. And I've seen most times that is when I walk in love, in a very difficult situation, that the answer comes. I also discovered that it's as if Satan knows what God is about to do in my life. That's why he sends certain things to my circumstances so that I will not walk in that love. But I discovered from experience that when I do walk in that love, the first thing that happens is light comes in the word of God. Revelation. Even though I might be in pain, at that time I'll be crying. If it's a need, it will be met. You see, this is where many of us will fail. Something occurs. Instead of you now come to a place whereby you are praying every second. When somebody sings, you pray. It doesn't concern you. Somebody does this, you pray. Somebody said this, you pray. Recently, something happened. My wife came to me and said, so-and-so said this to me. It disturbed me. It disturbed me a lot. But you see, I've conditioned myself. I just said, no. We have to pray. We'll pray for the person. So I called her, we prayed. She said, ask life for sister. So ask life. The person abused her. Ask life. We prayed in tongues and I left it. I said, Lord, show me a way that I can walk in love towards this person. Because the Bible says that, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That means good is stronger than evil. In the natural, I would have picked up my phone, replied, done, but no. But if I had done that, I wouldn't have been able to pray the next day. The Bible says, when you stand praying, it says, forgive. So because you don't forgive, your Father in heaven also will not forgive you. Like I said, I give an example God gave in the Bible. I said that He will enhance your answers to prayers. There are many prayers that we have that are hanging there in the heavenly places. And Satan has already seen it. The only way he can block it is what he tried to do in the time of Daniel. But see, if you keep praying by walking in love, he cannot stop it. The answer is going to come. One of the best examples I have is, and the best situation in this place is between husband and wife in the home. Bible says so that your prayers be not, he said you are the inheritor of grace of life, that prayers will not be hindered. For little things occur that shouldn't generate strife, and then even though you keep quiet, even though there is strife, there is something, and then it's until you bring yourself and say, what Oni said that time is not really, it's troubling me. You know, can be troubled and keep quiet and be smiling. Yes, it's happened to us many times. I give an example of Abraham and Sarah. It was Sarah that called Abraham and said, go into my wife and into my bond servant, Hagar. And Abraham obeyed for peace in the home, even though it wasn't right. Are you following me? He should have just given her the excuse. Sarah will not listen. No? She won't listen. But anyway, he obeyed his wife, which was wrong. Are you following me? Leave Father Abraham's infirmities. Now, the same Sarah now saw the son of the bondman mocking Isaac. He now goes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you have to send them out. That's what it means. But Abraham said, this thing was grievous to Abraham. You know why? Ishmael looked like Abraham. So he said, this only hope we have again. You are the one that said I should do it. Now I have done it. And I say again, cancel the order. So this, let me just read the scripture. It says, Genesis chapter 21 verse 12 says, and God said unto Abraham, he said, let it not be grievous in thy sight. The previous verse said that the thing was grievous in sight of Abraham. This boy looks like me. Exactly like me. Maybe the reason why Sarah was angry was what he looked like Sarah. But anyway, he said, God, this is what God said. God says, do not be grievous in your sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, this is what I want us to see. What if Abraham refused? Isaac would not have come on. Bible says that Sarah received strength to conceive. That by division in the house, Abraham's prayers would have been hindered. So you have to walk in love towards Sarah. And not be offended. Now you are saying we should cancel the order. Lord will have mercy on us. So the second thing I want us to see, not a long message, is that when we begin to bear one another's burden by walking in love, we begin to see by revelation that perfection is possible. That is what it says of Abraham. Genesis 49 that I said. He said that Issachar was couching between two bodies. It was when he did that he what? Saw. Put it back in Genesis chapter 49. You see, if you don't do it, you are going to be limited in the amount of revelation that you have. You can't see. That's why many of us don't see. We're always fighting. Any little thing will get angry. I've conditioned myself to a state whereby I do make mistakes a lot. But once I recognize and God convicts me, I don't waste time. I go back and I say, I'm sorry. I don't give any excuse. I say, I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. Now I'll go back and say, God, why now? Why? I thought by now I should even be able to not even say anything at all. And the moment I do that, light returns. What is it? Put it back in Genesis chapter 49. I was talking about Genesis 49. Says Issachar is the strongest, catching between both. Now I know the burden is bearing one another's burdens. Are you following me? Next verse. And he saw. Now, if he didn't carry that burden of walking in love, he will not see that rest is good. Rest there speaks about the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Like I said the other time, rest is not when you are sleeping. Rest is when there has been a removal of a satanic nature from the soul and body. They begin to see that this thing that pastor is saying is possible. And that the land was pleasant. What land is it? In the book of Psalms, it says that they despise the pleasant land. Now begin to see. But see, if you don't couch under those two burdens of walking in love, putting on your own armor, and the second one, bearing one another body, you will never see. If you see, it's not going to be clear. You only see in riddles, you know, like you said, he spoke to Aaron and to Miriam. You will not see clearly. Now understand why people don't see clearly. I see people say things certain times, and I'm sitting and I say, how come he doesn't see this? In my heart, I say, why? Is the level of love work. And in my meditations, I saw that that is the prerequisite for praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Before Paul started praying for the Ephesian church, this is what prompted him to pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Love unto some brethren. All brethren. He said the same thing in Colossians 1:4 and Philemon 1:5. You see, if you pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and not walking in love towards the brethren, you're not going to see anything. If you see, it's not going to be clear. And it's that love work I'm talking about, it's not when it's when it is not convenient. So you see, Paul, he said, after I heard of your faith in Lord Jesus Christ and love towards all saints, then he began to pray. I said, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of being, the eyes of understanding, being flooded with light. That means if that love was not there, he wouldn't pray that prayer. In Colossians that I mentioned, after he said that, he started talking about your hope that is reserved for you in heaven. You see why? Bible says that, you see, God hides. He's not hiding it from us. But you see, you will be looking at it, reading the Bible every day, and you will not understand. And you not know it is because of just that little argument that you had with that sister. Or even the little thought that you're harboring in your heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, to butter this point. We are talking about Issachar. He said, when he started carrying the burden of love, and he saw. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. John says, he that seeth is in the light, and hated his brother. If we imagine in the King James, you know, he says that loves less. To hate here is to love your brother less. That's why when we read, they say, Christ loved them unto the very end. Say, he that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in what? Darkness until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness at what? Blinded his eyes. That's what hinders many of us, or has hindered me many times from revelation. I'll have it today. I'll be so jumping up and down, so happy. The next minute something happens. It'll be somebody that's working with me and it does something and the light just goes. And I'll still come on fuming. No, I have to do something. I must let him know I'm his boss. He cannot be rude to me. And after you've done all that, usually it will take a day, maybe overnight. Then I'll wake up. My nerves will calm down a bit. Then God will now come and talk to me. You see, what we are talking about, I'll start another example to explore to understand. Somebody did something wrong very recently and I had to help out and all that. And I got to, the guy needed some money. He's not the kind of person in the natural you give money to. And I had the cash. So I got to him. I sat down. I said, wow. Well, at least I walked in luck today. Then God just whispered to me upon the prayer that I prayed. We just took that line about Jesus Christ when he knowing the Samaritan woman. I knew what he meant immediately. And I called the person and said, so. The guy said, no, sir. I said, no. This is not about you. These are the things that work once we go the extra mile. Say, go the extra mile. You know why God is stretching us in this love walk? To see how far you will go. It is how far you go that will determine how you are going to use or abuse if you ever get the Spirit without measure. We'll get there. We'll get there by the grace of God. I'm talking about how it's going to affect the reason why most times we don't experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because God will, it's not everything that God shows you, I'm seeing now, that you talk about. It's not everything. God delights to show secrets to you, things. But the primary motivation is for you so you can stand in the gap and bear that person's burden. But many times we see that revelation and want to share it. I now say the gifts are not in operation. How are they going to be in operation? Look at Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus was stealing. Year one, year two, year three. None of the other disciples knew. You know what it cost him? Each time the account had gone down, we had to go and pray an extra face or whatever it would take to cover up Judas. So I say, oh, maybe we know there is money. But where there is no money, we now pray and multiply the bread. So the other guys will not know. Why? To keep the unity of the Spirit amongst them. Because what they did or did not do will affect the grace on his life. That's how if you notice if anything happens, you quickly correct them and say, come on, stop talking about that thing. Because it will affect him. Because he needed their unity. If he did not need their unity, he will not call them to come and pray with him. It's very important we see that. Praise the Lord. So that's very, very important. The second point I have here, or the third point, it says that, I put there, I say, men will know we are his disciples and come to Christ as they see us walk in love one to another, especially in their time of need. What am I saying? I'll give an example in the Bible. Then you can now relate to it. When John the Baptist was beheaded, when he died, it was not the time to go to a wedding and turn water to wine. I speak in parables. When John the Baptist, his brother or his cousin, was beheaded, it was not the time for him to go to Cana of Galilee and turn water to wine. You know what he did? This is what he did. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. And went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed, danced by sheep, into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You see, if you do not walk in love, or if you don't walk in love, people are watching us every day. It can either attract or send them away. So this is what happens when this happens. This is how you people behave. There's a time to talk. Let me give you an idea. Somebody does something wrong. Maybe he does something. He travels, doesn't travel, and then he dies, or God forbid. That is not the time that you come and tell the people, I told him. Yes. If you're not walking in love, you will not know what to say. People will do it. You say, I told him. That's judgment. It is true, it may be judgment. But that's not the time to say it. That's the time to just keep quiet. And just, Ekpele, it is well. Lord will encourage you. It will strengthen you. That's what you'll be saying at that time. Doesn't the person know he has missed God? There's nothing you can come and tell somebody that spirit down a born witness with the person. Check, it's not this thing that caused this thing. This is what we are called to do, brethren. There's a time to speak and time to keep quiet. That's why you see Jesus Christ. Anytime he's going to heal people, he won't talk about their sins. He won't heal them. He'll bring this one to him. He'll say, this one was caught in adultery. Blah, 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 blah. He will look me a way to save him. Or say they'll bring somebody and then he'll say, he will look at the person and bring him down. He'll first of all heal him. That's the most important thing. Then later on, he will now say, okay, go and sin no more. You know why? If you do that, that person will not have faith to receive his healing. He won't have faith. Imagine if you come before God and God says, "Ah, you did this yesterday. I will heal you, but you know this thing you did is very bad." You're not going to have faith to be healed. That's why Paul says something. He said, "Lord, you see, it's what I'm talking about. I'm giving part of examples. But see, it's you can't do it if you have not prayed enough." I said, "Love of Christ constrains us. It will hold your tongue back to keep quiet. But don't say anything now." Paul says, a wise man, he said, "He defied his hunger. You leave it for now. Don't say anything. Don't say anything now. The important thing is that this guy must not die. So do everything to make sure he's saved. And if God permits you, he may not permit you. Because he can get across the person himself. The person can come and say, 'Ah, I think it's this thing I did, though. You just smile. It is well. Let's thank God, child. Let's move on.'" Oh, have mercy on all of us. So, then I also put it here. I already mentioned that. The fourth point, I said, we also position ourselves to be used for the restoration of the purity and the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to save our fellow brethren. I already mentioned it, but I'll give the example of Abraham and Lot. You see, God would not have gone to Abraham if he knew that he would not pray for Lot. You see, when you grow more in Christ, God begins to give you more and more authority. If you don't know how to handle authority like Elijah, or is it Elisha, or Elijah or Elisha, you call fire down, or you call the bear to kill the children. So God goes to Abraham. Why? Because he said it before. He said, "I know Abraham. That is my friend." That why would God go to him? God already knew that this guy is going to pray for him. Because he could see his heart that he loves Lord. So we know this story. Pastor shared recently, and he once said, "Abraham," and he said, "Why did he?" I assume whether it's literal or a vision, but the gift of the Spirit was a manifestation for God to appear to him. But if he wasn't in that, he didn't have that disposition to save Lot. In spite of what Lot did, I was after condemning Lot. God won't go to him; he'll go to somebody else. But I will go and meet Melchizedek. So he went to him. So also it was a test for Abraham. "Abraham, come. Have you seen what is going on in Sodom and Gomorrah?" You know, he didn't mention Lot, but wanted to see what Abraham would do. And before then, Abraham had said to Lot, because he had grown by then, he said, "If you go to the right, I will go to the left. If you go to the left, I will go to the right." Like I said the other day, let us assume that Sodom is to the right and the other place was to the left. Let us somehow Lot chose left. I mean, Abraham will have been forced to go to the right. So that prayer he prayed for Lot, he will have prayed it until he saved the people of Sodom. You don't get. He said, "If you choose left, I will go to the right. If you choose the right, I go to the left." So let's assume that sometimes, you know, out of force humility, we just do the right thing. That Lord just said, "Well, anyway, this man, come on, let me just honor you, child." And he goes to the right. So he leaves Abraham to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. What will have happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? The same thing that God was trying to do after Abraham went there. Because if he had not stopped at 10, God would have saved. Because God is looking for just a man to stand in the gap. Are you with me? Yes, that is logical reasoning. It's just that Abraham stopped at 10. If he had continued, people have saved more than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Very important for us to see that. Also, the final point I have in my note here, I already mentioned that a scripture I have, let me read it, for us to see this working in love, why God reveals things to us. In Jude chapter 1, verse 20, Jude 1, it's only chapter 21 to 23. Say, "Keep yourselves in love of God. You can't, you know, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. That is, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh." That is, you see your brethren. They've messed up big time. That woman caught in adultery. Who was living with somebody else. And then the other one that caught in adultery. Are two different stories. But can see how Christ related to them. I'm not saying that we condone sin. He said, hating the garment spotted with the flesh. Say you don't like adultery. It's evil. But you see that. You see, folks, the difference between you that you are okay today and the brother or sister that is misbehaving is because that sister or brother is operating under a life deficit. That's why he said, if you see your brother sin a sin unto death, ask for life. So if you ask for life, that life will help that person to correct and do the right thing. Understand that. That's why God said we should ask for life. When you see, ask for life. Because the problem is that the sin nature is dominating that person. Say, ask for life. So when you see things happen in the body of Christ, either you are watching the TV, and you see something happen, the first thing is life. It's something you train yourself to do. It's not going to happen overnight, but something that once it becomes your default. Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, pray in tongues. They begin to see them as Christ sees them. Now, it says making a difference. There are some people that God will say, no. Ephraim is joined to our own idols. Let him alone. There was a man of God that Kendrick wrote in his book. I won't mention his name, but he's on the internet. God sent Kendrick to go and warn him on three things. Number one was love for the brethren. The man died. Great man of God. Love for the brethren. Then money, then his eating. He wasn't working love for the brethren. I cost him his life. That at the age of 40-something. Very great man of God. With miracles, signs, and wonders in his ministry. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. The fifth point I have is that he is coming in glory in those who receive the grace of life to daily walk in the love of God to one another. That is, our examination is going on daily amongst ourselves. It's going on daily. How you are walking in love, firstly to your wife, your children, your driver, your staff. How you walk in love toward them. The Bible says, be ye merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. How is God merciful? The Bible says he gives his rain. If you read that same in the book of Matthew, say he will allow his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So we have to be merciful as God is merciful. Not that we condone sin, but in the midst of what is going on, you are looking for a way to save those people. It is when we practice and do these things that the salvation of Israel or a nation will come out of Zion. Or else, if we have not done that amongst ourselves, biting and devouring one another, what do you think we'll do to the politicians or those in the Senate? We pronounce judgment. Instant. Let fire consume them. God forbid, if you hear in history that something happens, maybe where they're having their meeting in the house, some of us will be very happy. Ah, this thing has begun, no? It has begun. And then they will mark your own shit in heaven. That miss God, though. That miss God. Just like when Paul was killing the Christians. Are you following me? If you had asked some of us if we are there then, we'll bring fire to kill him. Fire! No. God doesn't think like we think. He's always looking for a way to save his people. It is when God gives up on someone that we should give up. It is when God gives up on someone that we should give up. And that he will let you know. You see, this one has committed on parenting. Don't pray again. Until then, don't give up. Do you know that when Christ died, he not only died for the disciples, including Judas, he died for the high priest, he died for those that slept, he died for everybody in Israel at that time that were mocking him. He didn't say, He said, when he said, Father, forgive them. Them, that doesn't mean, it meant everybody in Israel at that time. Those were alive. He said, you'll be the Son of God. Why don't you come down now? And you stay for us. Why can't you save yourself? As in the midst of serious provocation, must master the art of love. You know why? Because it is at that time that your love walk is tested. Whether you call fire down or you will not. And you have every scripture to support what you have done. More than two. You say in the mouth of two or three, let everyone be established. You will quote Elijah, you will quote this one, and then you justify yourself. And then God will keep quiet. He won't say anything. The Bible says that we should be rooted and grounded in love of God. So, I said, it's going to come in glory in those who receive the grace of life to daily walk in the love of God towards each other. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He's coming on those that are meek and lowly, like I said later on, who are strong in the grace of God, and they use that grace of God to labor to walk in love daily. That is how it's going to come. That is how it's going to come. Two things are occurring. The enemy is trying to destroy the world, as we are now. But you see, within ourselves, we have this, the power of God in us is stronger than the atomic bomb. And following, we are praying, oh no, they should not use this so-so-and-so, and so-so-and-so. They will not do, yes, they will not. But what about you? Because what you are carrying, or what you can carry, your capacity as a human being is stronger than whatever arsenal any nation has that can destroy the world 1,000 times over. Case in point, just one curse from Noah set the sons of Ham under the curse. Just a curse. He cursed his son and a black race. We are coming out by the grace of God. You can imagine the kind of power that is in a born-again Christian. He didn't have a spirit without measure. But the measure of spirit he had at that time, I believe, was still stronger than what we have in Pentecost today. If I want to build, can Pentecost anointing, can he build any ark today? But the guy opened his mouth and cursed his son out of anger. That he disgraced me. And look at what happened today. Generations, thousands of years down the line. Lord, have mercy on us. So how do we do this? Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberties and on occasion to the flesh. But let's say together, but what? By love, serve one another. God wants us to serve one another by love. It's a very simple message. How be it, it's not that easy when you begin to work it out. And when again John the Apostle, the little book, he said it was sweet in his mouth. Ah, I'm going to walk in love. Ah, I'm going to walk in love. By the time he began to digest it, he said it was very bitter. But these are the things that if you're not careful in your love work, it can raise up bitterness. So, where are we? It's by love, serve one another. So how do we serve one another? With our spirits in prayer. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. The apostle Paul said, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Then also serve another by, simply put, washing of feet. 1 John chapter 5 verse, I've already quoted it. Say, if a mighty man sees brother sin, a sin not unto death. And first port of call is this, ask for life. Ask for life. Ask for life. Ask for life. Before you correct, ask for life. Let's say it together, ask for life. Let's say one again, ask for life. Sometimes during the service, I will go to the back to go and check the generator, make sure that everything is okay. And I will see people at the back, gisting. The day I saw somebody's son on that corner. He was playing game. You know, this video got again. And I was so engrossed. And pastor was preaching. I felt like, and for pastor to hear and say, what is that? Yes, you know, you see all the time. You know, we see all the time. That's my first immediate self. Oh my, yes. You know, my mind has. But the reason why I did not do it was because I didn't want to create any attention. If it was a place that people would not see me, I would have done it. Or would not distract people. So you see, anytime you come against such situation, no matter how little it is, ask for life. This guy is talking too much. Ask for life. He's eating too much. Ask for life. He just said something very stupid. Ask for life. First part of God. Just ask for life. When you not ask for life, and then you ask for life for yourself, and then you not pray in tongues, a few seconds, you not begin to, compassion will begin to move you. You don't have money. Because if you don't do that, God will not show anything in the closet. So sometimes you're just praying, and God will just come and show you something that doesn't concern you. I will tell you, this person has a challenge in this area. So you no longer react and say, you know, God has given you another assignment. You now respond in love. Now begin to pray for the person. Now begin to ask for life. Pray. Then God will show you more. Before you now say, Father that showed you in secret will not come and be openly. It's a key to the machine of the gifts of spirit. So, I said by washing of it. That's what God has called us to do in summary. For us to bear one another's burden. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Which is the law of life and love. Let's bow our heads to pray. God have mercy on us. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Love divine, all love excelling.
Love divine, all love excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling. All thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Every trembling heart.
Finish then thy new creation.
Finish then thy new creation. Pure and spotless, let us be. Great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in purpose we take our place. A crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
There was one scripture I forgot to mention. The summary of how to do this on the sequential steps to daily making room for Jesus. That's the summary of what I tried to speak about today by the grace and the mercy of God. The scripture comes from my book of James. If you see, put it there. It says, is a brother overtaken in a fault? If you see that scripture, please, you know, just came to me now. He said, is a brother or a sister overtaken in a fault? See, let them that are spiritual restore such a one with a spirit of meekness. Less what? Because within yourself, lest you be tempted. I think it's the book of James. Is it Galatians? Sorry, thank you. Galatians. Well, let's read together. Say, brethren, if a man or a woman be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also should be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens. That's what we're talking about. Are you spiritual? Learn to restore the brethren by asking for love, asking life for them. Once you do anything that is contrary, you're not spiritual. You're carnal. Let us pray. We pray from the prayer that Pastor gave us recently, summarize everything, because we need to know the why of or how of what to do. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. And so receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to bear one another's burden and so fulfill the love of Christ. Wherefore, I pray that you give unto me afresh and increasingly more of a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the present complete knowledge and spiritual understanding of you, to enable me to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, to walk in love, to watch and to pray always, to make me as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove, and as bold as a lion. And so give me more of the ability of the mind of Christ. And so I will know better the hope of your calling upon my life, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in me as a saint, and the exceeding greatness of your resurrection power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, and ultimately caused me to manifest the glory of God by partaking of his spirit without measure, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray in tongues. Lord, I mention us in the spirit. Rabba Santa la Bakura Santa la Bastala Bakusto from Masala Bakusto Frede. Rubo Santa la Bakura Santa la Bakuda Bakusto Frede. Father, thank you. God, my Lord, just thank you. Uramala Santa. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your blood. Rabba Suntorma, your life. Rabba Santa la Bakusto Frede. Your power. Rabba Suntorma. Insufficient measure. Rabba Suntorma. In upon our wills. Rabba Suntorma. Upon our minds. Rabba Suntorma. Emotions. Our bodies. Rabba Suntorma. Circumstances and our regional heavens. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life.